I had the opportunity this week to search for something that was missing, and it involved me having to empty out my purse and look and look and look and look. And I found something, a measuring tape. I love this measuring tape. I've had it for years. I carry it around with me because you just never really know when you might need a measuring tape. And it's a lot handier than something. You're laughing, but you know, you're a quilter. You know, you never know when you might need to measure something. Looking at houses, although I discovered Eric in his truck has a very big measuring tape. It takes a long time to measure rooms this size. But I've carried it around with me for years. It used to be a keychain, but that part broke off. And so I have this in my purse. Not only is it practical and handy, but I also carry it with me because of what it symbolizes for me. The words are hard to read, but it says on here, God measures the heart. So I carry this around as a reminder that God measures the heart. Because I need to take time and ask myself, if God measures my heart, what's God going to find? So I ask you that question today. If God were to measure your heart, what would God find? I think these matters of the heart, those things that are inside us, are the hardest to discern from the outside. Motives, intentions, those things that drive us. Why we do what we do, or why we don't do what we don't do. It's hard to look at ourselves honestly. Because the truth is, we don't always like what we see, do we? I think it's imperative that as children of God, we allow God to measure our hearts. And that we realize that even if we don't allow God, God's going to do it anyway. God will measure our hearts anyway. Because we can't hide anything from God. Even the things that we try very hard to hide from others, we can't hide from God. Even those things that we try to hide from ourselves, we can't hide from God. The secret places of arrogance or self-righteousness that blind us to our need for forgiveness. Those silent places of questioning or self-doubt that keep us from fully living out who God created us to be. We cannot hide from God. God knows our thoughts. God knows our feelings, our motives, our intentions. God knows our hearts, our hurts, our resentments, our fears, our bitterness, our longings, our judgments, our uncertainty, our sorrow, our grief, our pain. God knows all these things and so much more about us. God knows our hearts. We have two very different stories that we heard read today that are examples of this. The first is a story about a king. And it's not just any king, but it's the beloved King David, God's anointed king. God's anointed king who made a series of bad choices. Bad choices that started with Bathsheba. Now, we're told in the Bible that King David saw Bathsheba out bathing, and he found her irresistible. So he had servants who summoned her to come to the palace. Now, you didn't argue with king's choices, or king's orders. She had no choice. She had no choice but to go to the palace. Without going into a lot of details, it wasn't too long after that that Bathsheba sent word to King David that she was pregnant. Well, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was a leader in the king's army. He had been away for months and months and months fighting a battle. So the king summoned him to come back home. He said, Uriah, relax. Go home for a while. Enjoy your family. Have some good food. Have some good wine. Enjoy your wife. Take some R&R. Now, don't get me wrong, but King David did this to try to cover up his mess, hoping that Uriah would believe that that child was his. Well, what King David didn't rely on was that Uriah was a very faithful warrior. He was a very loyal warrior who refused to go home because his soldiers were out in battle, sleeping on the ground, eating only when they could find food to eat. He was not going to go home and enjoy the comforts of home while his soldiers were out fighting. So he slept on the steps of the palace for days. Finally, he went back to battle, and King David became desperate. He sent word to another leader in the army to have Uriah go on the front line of the fiercest battle so that Uriah would be struck down and killed. Uriah, in fact, died that way. He was put on the front line of battle, killed in battle. We're told that after a time of mourning, King David summoned Bathsheba again and took her into the palace as one of his own wives. Now, in any other circumstance, that would have been a very noble gesture for a king to do, to take the wife of his loyal soldier in as one of his wives, to take care of her and tend to her in her time of grief. No one else other than Bathsheba knew the news, knew the whole story. David covered all of his bases, because there's no way Bathsheba could tell this story out of fear for her own life. He thought he covered all the bases except for that reality that we cannot hide our hearts from God. Even no matter how hard we try. We heard today how the prophet Nathan confronted King David. He confronted him with a story about a rich man stealing and cooking and eating the lamb, the beloved lamb, of a poor man. David was outraged, and he said, "This man, this rich man, deserves to die." Nathan's response to him was simple. He tells him, "You are that man. You are that man." If God measured our hearts, what would God find? Well, we hear another story, a story about a woman. She has no name, but what she has is a reputation, a really bad one. She has a reputation as a sinner, and we don't know why. There could be many different reasons why she was labeled and branded as an outsider, as a sinner. We can only speculate. But what we do know is that she approached Jesus as he ate dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee. We also don't know why Simon invited Jesus for dinner. The Pharisees had just criticized Jesus, saying, "This man eats with sinners and tax collectors." Now here he is eating at the home of Simon the Pharisee. Jesus was reclining to eat as they did in those days. And a woman came to him, knelt at his feet, began weeping, washing his feet with her tears, wiping them dry with her hair, kissing his feet and anointed them with ointment. Foot washing was a common practice in that hot and dry, dusty climate. A host would usually give a guest a bowl of water and a towel so that they could literally wash up for dinner. Only a servant or a slave would usually wash the feet of another person. Even though Simon didn't do this for Jesus, the woman came and did. But for a woman, especially a woman like her, with the reputation that she had, to do this to Jesus was scandalous. Naturally, Simon the host was offended. He was offended not only at the woman for doing this, but also for Jesus for allowing it to happen. But Jesus knew her heart. Jesus also knew the heart of Simon the Pharisee. While everyone judged the woman and judged Jesus, Jesus told a story of two debtors. And he asks Simon, who will love more? The one who has been forgiven a smaller debt? Or the one who's been forgiven a larger one? If God measured your heart, what would God find? What would God find? You know, we know that God loves us. We know that God is a God of grace. And sometimes this love, this grace, confronts us. It confronts us, and honestly, this is a good thing. Because it brings us to our knees, and it reminds us that we are sinners and that we need God. That we need the love of Jesus in our lives. Because we can't hide anything from God. God knows that we are not perfect. God knows that we sin. God knows that we are human. God created us, and God knows this about us. God knows our hearts. And part of why we come together is to remember that God is God. That God is God. That God is God, and this is a good thing. A very good thing. We don't need to hide. We can't. We can't. In the history of God's people, we are told and taught that King David had a heart for God. He had that heart for God because he knew he needed God. He was taught early on that he could not hide from God. The woman came to Jesus weeping, perhaps not so much out of sorrow as maybe she came out of gratitude. She knew the power of his love, that power to heal and transform, to create anew. The power of that love of Jesus was that she didn't have to hide anymore. God measures our hearts. God measures our hearts and breaks them open so that the love of God can surround us and fill us and touch our very souls. And the beauty of this love is that it raises and lifts us to our feet again and then sends us out so that we can live lives of grace and love. I love these two stories because they teach us and remind us that God very much uses us in our humanity with all of our flaws and imperfections, with our mistakes and our shortcomings. In the midst of our brokenness, God uses our ordinary lives as a gift of grace to our hurting world. And then we become part of God's love story with the world. A love that goes beyond measure. A love that knows no bounds. We cannot change who we have been. But the love of God in Jesus Christ changes us. Changes who we are. And changes who we are becoming. We are loved and forgiven, children of God. And this is a good thing, a very good thing. Thanks be to God. Amen.